cord. The first thing I also have to do is give you this statement of telling you what we're doing. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut tree. Have you signed the participant identification and release agreement?
I have.
Okay, great. Now we're ready to go. We're official. Will you start and just tell me your name, where you're from, what you do, or background information?
My name's Randall Smith, and I was born in Jackson County, Alabama, in the town of Bridgeport, which is in the very extreme northeast corner of Alabama, and on the Tennessee River. And I had lived there all my life, and except for 7 years at college. I went to Auburn University and graduated in the School of Veterinary Medicine, and I'm a mixed animal practitioner in Jackson County now. I've been doing that. I've been interested in chestnuts all my life. My grandfather on my father's side said that he had 14 children, so they would take, before the chestnuts disappeared, when they were real young, they took a Model T Ford truck and would, you know, park under one of these giant trees and fill the truck up with so chestnuts were, you know, a source of food for them with 14. And anyhow, that was on that side. And then on my mother's side, my grandfather there was a farmer, and he sold cars at one time, and then a real estate agent later on. But in 1968, I was given a job by my father to keep me out of trouble. I was 16 years old, and I had to tear a fence row out place it with a new fence. And I started this project, which was right on the side of the road, and I was taking out the old fence, and there was these fence posts that were very hard, and they were old. You could tell by the weathering on the outside, but inside, when I pulled the staples out, they were like really firm, and you could knock the dirt off of them, and you could tell they were solid. So I had a pile of really good posts, and then I had a pile of cedar that were breaking off, and I burned those. But I kept these others because I didn't know what they were, you know. So I had a big stack of them, and I thought about burning them, and I said, no, some of these are so good, I'm going to use them. You know, they weren't going to be my brace posts, but. So my grandfather comes by on my mother's side, and he says, he was born in 1897. At 16 or 18 years of age, in like 19, 13 or 15, before he was drafted into the Army for the big war, he had put that fence in. He had built that fence, and he said, you know what these are that you've got stacked over here? And I said, no, I don't have a clue. I just know that the wood, when you take a knife or hatchet and cut into them, was like really oily, you know, you could tell it was just, I'd never seen anything like it. So he said, those are American chestnut. I split those rails and cut those fence posts when I was your age.
That's great.
So that's sort of how I got interested.
Well, when did you join the Chestnut Foundation?
I think it's been 3 years. I didn't know that they existed. But, you know, I thought that was really neat that
grandfather sharing any other stories with you?
Just that, you know, a lot of stories, but not necessarily chestnut related, but they lived off the land pretty much back then. His father had surveyed the Tennessee-Alabama line there, and they lived for months and months in the mountains surveying the Tennessee-Alabama line from Sewanee all the way into the Georgia line. He did all of that surveying, and they would stay in the woods for 6-7 months. So he had a lot of, you know, the chestnut tree was really important, and that was would have been, I think, in the 1870s or something that he did that. So they lived into those chestnuts when they were still very healthy and, you know, active. So we just have a lot of things. Several of my family have restored old log cabins, and of course, a lot of those logs were American chestnut.
Why did you decide to get involved with the Chestnut Foundation? What kind of motivated you to get involved?
I just like the idea of restoring that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of, of course, I deal with farm animals and small animals and exotics. I do everything. I've always tended to things. My daughter's carrying a little squirrel in her pocket today that we've doctored this. She won't leave. So,
I want to see that.
So anyhow, that's my story. Basically, I built my granddaughter a rocky horse, and my aunt had given me, she had a cabin redone up here on Signal Mountain, and it had a lot of chestnut logs in it, and they had taken some of those, like one of the rooms, and had to shorten it, and so I got some of the chestnut ends off of some of the logs that they had shortened the room, and I built her a seat on a rocky horse out of this chestnut, you know, and that cabin was 200 years old probably, so that log was at least 200 years old. They may have pulled it out of another cabin and used it, you know. But anyhow, it's just made a beautiful piece of wood. Of course, you've seen some of the bow doors and the paddles and stuff, how pretty a wood it is. So that's another generation. That's got a story.
Yeah, is there anything else that you've made out of that wood?
No, I haven't.
Still have any of it?
I have some of it, yes. When somebody has an old log that cabin or they're redoing, and I find out there's some chestnut, I keep it. But I have a lot. We went to the Joyce Kilmer National Forest up here, and we found some old chestnut stumps up, logs up there that are still, you know, some of that wood. And I can still find them at home. In that gap between Stevenson and Monteagle,
Lost Cove,
and all up in those areas, there's still trunks of those trees laying in the forest. So,
do you have any sort of concerns or hopes or fears about the restoration process and kind of the future with the organization? Anything specific?
No, we've got a 1,000-year plan. That sounds like we're in for the long haul.
It's pretty amazing to talk about that kind of a scale.
The restoration idea, you know, I believe in, I'm a New Testament Christian. That restoration of New Testament Christianity is my religion, and, you know, this idea of restoring this tree back to its prominence is just, you know, just intrigues me. I'm gone nuts, I guess, as my wife says.
can you better kind of explain or clarify that connection between New Testament Christian and work on?
Well, you know, we had the Reformation back, but I say, why reform something? Just go back to what it was in the beginning. And that's what I'd like to see with the chestnut tree, you know. And when I go overseas, I was in a wreck in India right after the tsunami. And that's what we were doing over there. We were just going into those fishing villages and bringing some relief, of course. But anyhow, that's what I've done, you know, religiously. I do a lot of mission work. So, But I like the idea of restoring that, and I like to see this tree restored. You know, it's sort of, I was close to my grandparents, you know, and they taught me what that tree was and what this tree was, but we didn't have any chestnuts left, you know. And we'd hear stories of sprouts and somebody found some nuts up on the mountain. But I never got to. I always, you know, as a little kid, wanted to go find that tree and see it. And so now.
Looking for Sasquatch, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. But now I have some trees growing on the mountain, on the Tennessee line. I own a little property, and I've got some trees growing now that I've planted, you know. So they're back in the mountains in the beginning where they started.
What's the biggest one you got?
They're just all young. Yeah. I've got a pound of nuts off of some trees at my clinic that I got out of Pennsylvania. They're about 8 years old. So.
That's great. So any other memories that come to?
No, just talks. You know, they would talk. Big families sit around and talk, you know, and they would talk about feeding, you know, roasting chestnuts by the open fire. Well, that was they fed the hogs chestnuts. They fed everything. That's to sort of sustain the poor. And I can remember coming up here to the tanning, right down the road here, to the tannery. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a big tannery here. Well, people in my area would strip those chestnut logs and bring that up here. And I can still smell that tannic acid smell. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't smell it when you go by there anymore. But
right.
When I was a kid, you came by there, you could smell it. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, some of the people in my area, the poor indigenous farmer, sharecroppers and all, that was a money source for them to bring that bark of that tree up here. You know, I heard those stories about bad times and, you know, about how people, that tree just provided so many different things for so many people. And I think at one time that was the major source of the tanning that they used to tan the hides was the chestnut tree.
That's right.
So, but stories about, you know, preparing chestnuts and roasting them by the open fire, getting up and taking them to school for breakfast. You know, they would fill their pocket, a sweet potato in one pocket and some chestnuts in that sort of thing.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.